Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's go ahead and get started. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Last time that we were together, we just begun to get into these verses. We just very, very briefly introduced this, and so our purpose this morning, as we continue our study of 1 Corinthians, is to get into the details of what the Apostle Paul is going over here with the Corinthians. It is important that you remember the background that's going on here at Corinth. These Corinthians had, rather than progressed in their spiritual maturity and edification, they had basically stagnated. And the reason that they were not growing spiritually is, frankly, they were listening to the wrong source. They were relying upon the wrong source of information. They had all these 10,000 instructors at Corinth, and those 10,000 instructors were teaching them all kinds of different things, but everything other than what the Apostle Paul was teaching. And the Apostle Paul is seeking to bring them back on track with reference to their edification process. And what he's doing in chapters 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians, he is basically seeking to reorient the Corinthians to his ministry, to the distinctiveness of his apostleship, his ministry, his message. And what he's getting at here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 with this issue of the wise master builder and this appearing at the judgment seat of Christ and this thing about wood, hay, and stubble, is the Apostle Paul is warning that any of these builders here at Corinth, and for that matter any of those that are builders today in the church, that if they don't build according to plans, then the end result is going to be wood, hay, and stubble for them. They will be found severely wanting when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ. So let's look at the details here and notice what he says at verse 10. Pardon me just a moment here. Okay, notice again what he says at verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. The Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul the blueprints for the church, the body of Christ, and the edification of believers for this dispensation of God's grace. When he says at verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, hold that verse there and come to Ephesians and chapter number 3. Go over to Ephesians in chapter number 3 here. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3, and I want you to see a very similar phrase so that you understand how to read that verse in 1 Corinthians 3:10. Over here in Ephesians 3:2, Ephesians 3:2, he says this. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. Now, do you see that verse there and the phrase there? The dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. Notice that verse with 1 Corinthians 3:10, the first part of the verse. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. When the Apostle Paul says according to the grace of God, he doesn't simply mean, well, you know, since God saved me by grace, I think I'll, you know, go out and preach this information. That's not what Paul is driving at here. When he says according to the grace of God, he's talking about according to the dispensation of the grace of God, according to that information committed to his trust. Now let me try to be a little bit more clear on this if I can. When the Apostle Paul says according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, you and I both, when we got saved, we were saved by grace, right? But it would be entirely incorrect for you and I to say what this verse says, according to the grace of God given to you and me as a wise master builder. See, it would be entirely incorrect for you and me, being saved by grace, to say, well, we're the wise master builder. That's not true. So when the Apostle Paul is saying, according to the grace of God given unto me, he's not simply talking about that God saved him by grace. God saved you and me by grace, but you and I are not the wise master builder. Okay? Rather, when he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, he's talking about the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to Paul for the Gentiles. Okay? He's talking about that information given to his trust for this dispensation of God's grace. So, when he says at verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul is the wise master builder. He's the instructed architect. He's the wise master builder. Why is he a wise master builder? Not because he was so intelligent or such, you know, some genius or that type of thing, but rather it's because he was the instructed master builder. He's the one that God gave the information to. That's what made him a wise master builder. He understood what God was doing because God told him what he was doing. He understood what the formation of the body of Christ, the edifying of the church and so forth. So he's speaking here about being the wise master builder, the one to whom the Lord Jesus Christ gave the information about this dispensation of his grace, right? So along those lines, he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. The Apostle Paul came along and laid that foundation. He's talking about a doctrinal foundation for the church at Corinth. He came along and laid that foundation according to the information that was given to his trust. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now watch the warning now. Watch the concern. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There's the issue right there. Any of us as builders, whether it was the 10,000 instructors at Corinth or whether it's any preacher alive today, we need to make sure and take heed how we build upon the foundation that Paul laid. To put it another way, we just need to make sure and follow the same blueprints that Christ gave to Paul. That's it. If we don't follow the blueprints that Christ gave to Paul, and the end result is going to be what we've built is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. So we want to make sure that we follow the blueprint. When it comes to building, when it comes to edifying the saints, building up the local assembly, building up the saints and so forth, we got to make sure that we follow the right blueprints. Well, where do you find those blueprints? Well, the answer is obvious. Specifically in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. That's where you find the blueprint for the edification of the believer today and for the building up of the local assembly today in the dispensation of God's grace. So when he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth, the way to take heed is just to follow the pattern, just follow Paul, follow the pattern that Christ gave to Paul. And then he says here at verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is only one foundation, and that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. But that foundation was laid according to the information given to the Apostle Paul. See that? When he says at verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. The foundation at Corinth was Jesus Christ. The foundation, which is Jesus Christ, was laid by the Apostle Paul. Paul laid that foundation for the continued building process, continuing of the building process and so forth. But he laid that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, he laid it according to the doctrinal information given to him. And then he says this at verse 12. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You clearly see the two categories of material here. Gold, silver, precious stones, that's material that has intrinsic value to it. Gold, you can put gold through the fire and the fire will simply burn up the impurities and what you have left is, of course, the pure gold. Gold has an intrinsic value to it. Silver has an intrinsic value to it. Precious stones, they have an intrinsic value to them, okay? Whereas wood, hay, and stubble. You can have volumes and, you know, whole truckloads of wood, but you put it through the fire and you got nothing left. Okay? So they don't have an intrinsic value to them. And you, again, you can see the two categories, the two qualities of materials that are being built. He says at verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, look at verse 13 now, every man's work shall be made manifest. The work is a reference to the building material that he's producing. The work is a reference not to a man working for salvation from hell, but rather to, as it said at verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The work is the work of a laborer, the work of a builder. And what's going to happen is that that work is going to be made manifest one day. It's going to be revealed as to what it is, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That is the quality of his work. Well, what day? Well, if you would look a little bit further ahead over to chapter 4, look over to chapter number 4 and verse 3. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, and here it is, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. The day that it's going to declare it is when the Lord comes for us as members of the church, the body of Christ. Now we generally, actually most of the time, refer to this event, that is the event of chapter 3, that is when this building material is going to be made manifest. We refer to this as the judgment seat of Christ. When you and I as believers, when you and I as members of the body of Christ will appear before the Lord, so that our work as builders and our service as saints will be reviewed and made manifest as to the quality, as to its quality and so forth, all right? So that's the day. It's going to happen basically subsequent to the rapture. The catching away of the church, the body of Christ, we call that the rapture, so we're caught up to be with the Lord, and then after that, we appear at what we call the judgment seat of Christ. Look again at verse 13 now, chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it, notice the repeated reference to his work, his work, his work, his work, his work. This is a review of our work as builders. It's not a judgment to determine whether or not we go to heaven or hell, okay? The only people who are going to be at this review are believers, members of the church, the body of Christ. This is not a review to determine whether or not you go to heaven or hell. These people are all in heaven, okay? But what it is a review, it's a review for the purposes of determining your reward, singular. All right, go back to verse 13 now. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire is the Word of God. God is going to take His Word, and He's going to let the Word of God inspect the building, the doctrine that we have proclaimed. And when I say the Word of God, I mean Paul's epistle in particular. All right? What's going to happen is God's going to take His Scripture, the fire is likened unto the Word of God, and the Word of God is likened unto fire and so forth, and it's going to be revealed by the fire of His Word. And it says it's going to be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, it's important that you understand that point right there. The fire is going to try, the fire is the Scriptures, the Word of God, in Paul's epistles in particular. It says the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, of what sort it is. Now think about that. It doesn't say that the fire is going to try every man's work of what quantity it is, but rather of what sort it is. And he's given you the categories back up to verse 12. You've got gold, silver, precious stones, and you've got wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And let me give you a simple illustration, and I know you can appreciate this, and you know, I know you're already familiar with this, but think about it this way. I don't know exactly what gold is selling for nowadays. I think it's probably up around $400 an ounce, maybe something like that. Some of you are perhaps more on top of that than I am and everything, but let's just say it's $400 an ounce, okay? I also know that wood, the price of wood, and you know, wood for building houses and so forth, has certainly gone up. Let's just say that in my pocket I had two gold Canadian maple leaves. Let's just say that I had two of those, okay, which I don't, by the way. But let's just say that I did. All right. So, and let's say that. You know, each of those Canadian maple leaves weighed about an ounce, and I think they weigh an ounce or something like that. So they're about $400 a piece. So in my pocket, let's just say that I had two of these gold Canadian maple leaves. So I've got basically $800 in my pocket as an example. And then let's say that I'm driving down the street in my little old beat up car and everything, and right next to me there's a pickup truck that is just full of 2x4s and 2x6s and various pieces of wood. That's the building contractor. He's going to go and make a room addition to my next door neighbor's house or whatever, that kind of thing. He's got a big old utility truck that has got, he's got, you know, piles and piles of wood. He's got $1,000 worth of wood, for example, which actually I guess nowadays maybe $1,000 of wood is maybe not that much anyway, but you get the idea. That here, you know, you could look at me in my little old beat up car and everything, and you wouldn't have any idea that I have any money at all in my pocket. In fact, you'd probably think, man, that we better go take up a collection for that guy, okay? Whereas the guy next to me, he's just got this pile and, you know, piles of wood in the back of his truck, you know, $1,000 worth of 2x4s and 2x6s or whatever. So, from appearance standpoint, from a volume, from a size standpoint, which one of us appears to have more? Well, certainly the guy with his piles of wood and so forth. But if you take and pass that all that wood through the fire, and then you pass those two gold Canadian maple leaves through the fire, what are you going to have left with the wood? Well, that's right, a pile of ashes. Just blow them away. They're worthless. They're useless. They're just of no value at all. Whereas you put those two gold Canadian maple leaves through the fire, what do you have? You still have that fire just burned up the impurities. See what it did? So you have to remember, the point of the illustration is this, that what God is looking for, not the issue is not quantity. The issue is quality. With God, the issue is, you can see very clearly in verse 13, the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. You can have trucks. I was driving, when was it? Saturday, 2 weeks ago. I was coming back from an area out here, and I got stuck behind this big 18-wheeler that was filled with hay. And of course, you know, you drive down the street on those things, and this was an old backcountry road and everything, so we're not going real fast, but even at that, the wind is blowing against those bales of hay. You know, you have hay flying everywhere. But this guy just, you know, those big old piles of hay on the back, these bales of hay on the back of this truck and everything. You put that thing through the fire, and you might have enough dust left to you know, fit in a little bowl or something like that, right? Whereas if you put a couple of gold Canadian maple leaves or whatever through the fire, you're still going to have the gold left. You get the idea, friends. Verse 13, God is interested in what sort it is. God is interested in the quality of the work. God is interested that we build according to His plans. That's critical there. And you see it, verse 13 again, 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, understanding this principle really it helps you understand a lot of other issues. For you and me today that really emphasize the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul, the clarity of the gospel, using the right Bible, living by grace, we emphasize all of those things. We make a big deal out of all of those things. The Word of God rightly divided from the King James Bible, with the Apostle Paul being your apostle preaching a clear gospel, you know, justification by grace through faith alone and the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone and living by grace. We make all of those issues because they are issues, okay? And a lot of times the things that are said against our ministry and against the various grace ministries around the country, a lot of times the things that are said, oh, you guys make too big of a deal out of the Bible issue, and you guys are splitting churches, and you guys make too big of a deal out of right dividing the word of truth. That's your little hobby horse there and so forth. And you guys make too big of a deal out of making sure the gospel is so clear and everything. You know, that you guys just make too, just get out there and just love everybody and just get out there and talk to everybody about Jesus and so forth. And like every year here in Southern California, they have the big harvest crusades and so forth. And we don't participate in that because, frankly, the bottom line is they do not preach a clear gospel. And so the objection is, the concern that comes up is, well, you know, isn't it better that if you can get out there and get 1,000 people in the stadium, and even if you preach an unclear gospel to them and you get a few people saved, isn't that better than only getting, you know, 5 or 10 together and preaching a clear gospel to them? Isn't it better to do that? Well, you tell me. Look at verse 13 and you answer the question. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So you tell me the answer to that question. Should we compromise what Bible we use just because we're trying to reach the masses? The answer is no. Should we compromise the clarity of the gospel simply because we're trying to attract more people and bring more people in, and we're so afraid of offending people by telling them they're going to die and go to hell, and that the only way to be saved is by faith alone and the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone, not by works, not by walking the aisle, not by getting water baptized, not by being a good person, not by promising God, not by turning over a new leaf, not by committing your life to Christ, none of that stuff. Should we compromise the truth of God's Word, rightly divided in the clarity of the gospel and living by grace, just because we supposedly can reach the masses? The answer is no. That's the answer. A false gospel doesn't work. Compromising the Bible, compromising the Word of God doesn't work. It doesn't impress God. It doesn't please God. God is the building inspector. And He's going to look at the building one day. He's going to inspect the materials one day. He's going to inspect our work one day. And He's looking for quality. Listen, what we need to do is this. Just stick with the Word of God. Just stick with what the Scriptures say. Stick with the Word of God divided, your King James Bible, the clarity of the gospel of the grace of God. Don't go use the methods and messages again that the world's using. Look at the problem at Corinth. The Corinthians had all these 10,000 instructors. These 10,000 instructors had all kinds of methods, all kinds of messages, all kinds of things to say, but they were not resulting in the edification of the Corinthians. They were not producing mature saints. In fact, what they were doing, what they were producing is going to wind up, it's going to wind up being wood, hay, and stubble. They were producing lots of quality, but all it was it's just going to be proved to be one day wood, hay, and stubble. So we don't need to go there, friends. We don't need to we don't need to try to fit in with what everybody else is doing. We don't need to look like what everybody else is doing. It's just unnecessary, friends. It doesn't honor God. What we want to make sure and do is we want to, as it says at verse 10, the second sentence of verse 10, we want to take heed how we build thereupon. We want to be careful. We want to be sure that we are building according to the blueprints that the risen and ascended Christ gave to the wise master builder. The wise master builder here is the Apostle Paul. We want to make sure we are building according to the blueprints that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. That's what that verse says. Look at verse 10 again, 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure and take heed that we're building according to the blueprints that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. And if we will build according to those blueprints, then we can have confidence, not in ourselves or in you know, our efforts or energies, because that isn't the issue at all, friends. But if we will build according to the blueprints that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Apostle Paul, as for you and me today, as found in his writings, okay, well, then we can have confidence that the work we are doing as builders will be found to be gold, silver, and precious stones. It'll just match the record, friends. It'll match the doctrine, all right? We can have confidence, again, not in ourselves, not in our abilities and energies and efforts, excuse me, but rather confidence in God's word. When he says there at verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Just remember that, friends. Sometimes in the grace message, you can get discouraged. You can get down. You can become maybe overwhelmed. When you look at all these other ministries that are going on out there, and you see these stories and you hear these stories about they started with 5 and in 2 years they have 5,000. You know, they started with 20 and in 5 years they're having, you know, 20,000. They started with 30 and in 1.5 years they're having 3 services each Sunday, and each service has 1,000 people coming, and you know, they've got this budget of $100,000 a month, and they've got all these people coming through the doors. It can be, sometimes if you're looking at the wrong thing, friends, you can become discouraged. You can wind up using the wrong standard to evaluate whether or not what you're doing is what God wants you to do. We got to make sure that we're using the right standard to evaluate whether or not what we're doing is gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. When we get phone calls, we advertise, for example, in the Yellow Pages, and we get, you know, a fair amount of phone calls throughout the year and so forth. We get a smattering of visitors that come out as well. But we get a fair amount of phone calls that people call up and ask us about ministry. And some of the most common questions that they ask, one is, well, how big is your church? How big is your ministry? And so forth. As though that's the basis upon which to decide. But that's obviously a standard that people use. It's a wrong standard. You know, how long have you been meeting as a church, and how big are you? Where did you go to Bible college? Things like that. So, see, Christian people have been trained to look at the wrong thing to evaluate whether or not God is doing something. All right? And we just got to make sure that we don't do that. We got to make sure that we use the right standards to evaluate what we should be doing and whether or not what we are doing is what God wants us to do, whether or not it's going to be found to be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So you don't need to be discouraged or down or depressed when you look around and it seems like nobody else is listening to this message, or when you've got just a teeny tiny group compared to the other churches and so forth. Just remember this verse. Verse 13, that the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. God is going to manifest the quality. God is going to manifest at the judgment seat of Christ who is that's following the blueprints and building according to plans. All right. So that's why he says, you know, look over to chapter number 4, verse 5. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Don't use the wrong standard to try to judge whether or not it's going to be wood, hair, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Use the right standard. Use Paul's epistles. You and I as believers can know right now whether or not what we are doing is going to be found to be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hair, stubble. You and I can know it right now before the examination even ever occurs. How can we know it? Because you have the blueprint. You've got the written record of Paul's epistle, in Paul's epistles. You have the blueprint of what God is doing. You know what He wants done. You've got it written down for you, friends. You don't have to wait until the judgment seat of Christ to figure out whether or not you were building according to plans. If you follow the blueprint that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the wise master builder, then you can be sure that the outcome in terms of building a worker, your building and so forth, that the outcome will be gold, silver, precious stones. Now, one thing I want to interject at this point here before we go on is, and I said it very briefly towards the beginning of our lesson today, the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be two areas that are reviewed, okay? The one area, which is 1 Corinthians 3, that is we're laborers together with God. We're builders, right? So it's going to be our work as builders. Our work as builders, all right? Whereas over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul talks about our service as saints being reviewed, those two categories. So as laborers together, our work there as builders, and then our service as saints. Okay, both categories are going to be reviewed. The principle is the same for both categories. That's why the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians 5 doesn't go into a lot of detail again about it. He doesn't have to because he already gave them the principle here. But just keep those two categories in mind. All right. Now, let's go on here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 at verse 14. He says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Now the reward there is, if you'll go with me over to Ephesians chapter 1 as an example, go to Ephesians chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter number 1, and start with me at verse 21. Notice the Apostle Paul what he says here, Ephesians 1:21, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He raised Him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church, the body of Christ, of which you and I are members, is the fullness of Christ that's going to fill all of those principalities, powers, mights, dominion, and every name that's named in all the heavenly places. That's what he's talking about when Paul talks about a reward. The reward that you're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be one of those positions: thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, mights, or every name that's named. That's the position you're going to be given. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, our eternal destiny is in the heavenly places. That's where we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in capacity of running the heavenly places by judging the angelic race. They're going to be, in a sense, this is an illustration, but in a sense, we're going to be like the officers, and they're going to be like the enlisted troops and so forth, okay? Kind of in a sense, all right? So we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ in the heavenly places, judging the angels who are going to be carrying on much of the activity and so forth under the rulership of the body of Christ, okay? So the reward that you receive is going to be one of those positions: thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, might, every name that's named. It's going to be a position that has to do with the functioning and governing of the heavenly places. That's the reward you're going to get. And what's going to happen is that the reward you get is going to be exactly consistent with the capacity of sound doctrine that is resident in your soul. Let me say that again. The reward that you get, the position that you are assigned, is going to be exactly consistent and commensurate with sound doctrine resident in your soul. That's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. One of the purposes is to manifest that doctrine in your soul. It's to manifest that level of spiritual maturity and edification that you've attained to, in a sense, okay? And so you're going to be given a job position that is exactly appropriate to that level of spiritual maturity that you've allowed the doctrines of grace to bring you to. All right? So verse 14 again, he says, back at 1 Corinthians 3:14, back at 1 Corinthians 3:14, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I'm sorry, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. All right, so you understand what that is. It's one of those positions, those thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, might. It's a position in the heavenly places by which you as a member of the body of Christ will be serving the Lord Jesus Christ to his orient, to his glory and honor in the heavenly places. All right? And obviously when it says if any man's work abide, there's the what's going to abide the fire is going to be the gold, silver, precious stones. Verse 15 now says this. If any man's work shall be burned, i.e. he's built wood, hay, and stubble, so he did not follow the blueprints, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of the position that he could have had. Loss of the reward. Well, why isn't he going to get that reward? It's real simple, friends. The reason he's not going to get that reward is because he doesn't have the spiritual capacity in his soul to function in that position. That's why he's not qualified for that position. At verse 15 again, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He's not going to get the reward. He's going to suffer the loss of that position that he could have had. He's going to suffer loss of the position that was available to him that he could have had he simply followed the blueprints. Let me give you an illustration here. So much of Christianity today, Christian people today, they are not following the blueprints that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul for this dispensation of grace. They are building into their own lives and into the lives of those that they minister to, they're building Israel's information. They're building the kingdom information, the kingdom prayer promises, the so-called Lord's Prayer, the kingdom so-called blessing. They're taking and building into people's lives, in their own lives and the people's lives, information that has to do with Israel functioning on the earth. The Apostle Paul wants to make sure that you and I take and build into our lives and into the lives of the people that we have the privilege of ministering to. He wants to make sure that we build into our lives information that will pertain to the body of Christ functioning in the heavenly places. So if you have built into your life all this doctrine that pertains to Israel on the earth, well, it's no wonder that you're not going to be able to function in the heavenly places. You've got the wrong doctrine in your inner man, and that's going to wind up being wood, hay, and stubble relative to functioning in a heavenly position. You see, if you think that you're Israel today, you're going to be praying Israel's prayers, expecting Israel's blessings, expecting the fulfillment of Israel's prophecies, claiming those types of things, and you are not equipped to function as a member of the church, the body of Christ, in heavenly places, so you're just not going to be given that position, okay? You're still a member of the body of Christ, but instead of being given a throne or dominion or principality or power or might, you're just going to be what's called an every name that's named. See the categories there? You've got thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, might, and then every name that's named. You're still a saved person, all right? Assuming you believe the gospel, of course, okay? So verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of the reward, why? Because he has not built into his inner man the capacity, the ability, the know-how, the functioning to function in the heavenly places. He's been building into his inner man that information pertaining to Israel on the earth. He says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, this is not a judgment of eternal condemnation. This is not a judgment of justification. This is a judgment to manifest the doctrine resident in the believer's soul that is necessary to function in the heavenly places. And if the doctrine resident in your soul is Israel's doctrine, if it's the wrong doctrine, then friends, you're not going to know how to function in the heavenly places. Whereas, if the doctrine in your soul is that doctrine according to the information given to the wise master builder, in Paul's epistles, you're being taught how to function in the heavenly places. And so that's why you want to build that doctrine in your soul, so that when you get there, when it goes through this fire at the judgment seat of Christ and so forth, what's going to be made manifest is that gold, silver, precious stones, that capacity and ability to function as a member of the body of Christ in the heavenly places. Let me say it this way, friends. If you think you're Israel, if you're praying Israel's prayers, requesting Israel's prayers, looking for Israel's prophecies and so forth, friends, you are not functioning as a member of the church, the body of Christ. You're functioning as though you're Israel. And frankly, friends, that's most of Christianity today. All right? We got to make sure, as the Apostle Paul says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We just got to make sure that we're building according to the right plans. That we're building into our inner man the capacity and ability to function as a member of the church, the body of Christ, not just here and now, but to function as a member of the body of Christ like we will be functioning out there in the heavenly places to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We're out of time for our formal lesson this morning, so...